Rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And we are also thankful to Allah to bring us back, Haj Samir, safe and sound after this very horrifying accident that he went through. But I said to him, and I believe in what I said, and I repeat what I said, because he served the community here during the 30 nights of Ramadan with full earnestness and dedication and ikhlas and sincerity and love. And therefore Allah definitely will take care of him. Allah takes care of those who take care of God's affairs. When you work for God, God works for you. When you dedicate yourself for Him, He dedicates Himself for you. So welcome back, Haj Samir Amiri, our dearest brother and friend and Habib. Alhamdulillah, we see you back to your family and to your community. Dafa'allah ma kana a'zam. And remember always, my friends, always pay charity, sadaqah, always, every single day. Keep a box at home, put some money there, you know, change money, whatever you can afford. And always recite Ayatul Kursi for your protection and the protection of your family, your children, your house, your vehicle, your life. Always recite Ayatul Kursi. And also, I give condolences to our dear family here, the Lutfi family, for the first anniversary of the departure of their sister and their daughter, Marhuma Ismat Lutfi. May Allah bless her soul and embrace her with His forgiveness and His mercy, inshallah, in paradise. The Lutfi family are one of the best in our community. Their mother, the Honorable Mother, and the sisters and the brother and their children, alhamdulillah, they are a good example of kindness and goodness, and this is what we want in this life. This is what we like to see. We like to see people who are kind to others, people who are polite, people who are dedicated, people who are giving and contributing to their societies and to their communities. So may Allah, inshallah, raise her ranks in paradise and gather her with Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad alayhim as-salam, and bestow patience and forbearance and tolerance on her family, inshallah. And I ask you again to recite Surah Al-Fatiha for her soul. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. رحمة الله تعالى عليها. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف أنبياء الله وخاتم رسله حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين وعلى الصفوة من صحابته المنتجبين ومن تبعهم بإحسان وإيمان إلى يوم الدين. This is Surah Yunus, verses 59 and 60. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل أرأيتم ما أنزل الله لكم من رزق فجعلتم منه حراما وحلالا قل أالله أذن لكم أم على الله تفترون وما ظن الذين يفترون على الله الكذب يوم القيامة إن الله لذو فضل إن الله لذو فضل على الناس ولكن أكثر الناس لا يشكرون صدق الله العلي العظيم. This verse 59 is regarding the right of legislation, tashri'. Who has that right? People have this right, or God? And today, Islamic Sharia is one of the most hotly debated subjects in America. It has been raised by many political leaders. The other day, Newt Gingrich, who was the ex-speaker of the Congress, and he is previously a political or professor of history, I believe, in Georgia. He was suggesting that we have to test the Muslims in America. So if they accept Sharia, we deport them. We send them back to wherever. But if they don't accept Islamic Sharia, we allow them to stay in America. This is the latest, you know, the latest comment on Islamic Sharia by someone who's a university professor, who's supposed to know the true meaning of the Islamic Sharia. If he Googles Islamic Sharia, and if he reads a couple of books, no more than that, he will get to know the right meaning of the Islamic Sharia. So what is Sharia? Sharia, in a brief, is the whole system, a comprehensive system that embraces, number one, ibadat, the worshipping, the prayers that you just did, salat, the fasting, the almsgiving, the charity, the hajj, pilgrimage. These are part of Sharia. These are the ibadat. Being good to your neighbor, being kind to your parents, being truthful and honest, being on time, being disciplined, being God-fearing. These are ibadat. This is part of the Islamic Sharia. The second part of the Islamic Sharia is the mu'amalat. Mu'amalat means contracts. Contracts, marriage is a contract between two people or two families. Divorce also is a contract. The trade, the business, when you purchase, when you sell, when you go to the market, these are mu'amalat. So we believe in them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, awfu bil'uqood, fulfill the covenant that you make. The contracts that you make, you have to fulfill it. The promise that you make. Meaning when you take a loan from the bank, you have to pay it back. When you take a loan from someone and you tell him, I bring it back next week or next month, you have to respect this honor. Awfu bil'uqood. Awfu bil'uqood. When you take people's daughter into your house as a wife and you promise her parents to treat her well, then you have to do that. When you marry people's daughter and take her hand and go to her father and tell him, please give me your daughter in marriage, then you must respect that. These are uqood. These are contracts, mu'amalat. This is part of Islamic Sharia. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Mu'minun, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ. The true believers are those who honor ra'un, who honor the amanat, the trust. Your son and your daughter is a trust given to you by God. So you have to raise them well. You cannot abandon them. You cannot abuse them. You have to take care of them. Your health is a trust and a gift given to you by God. You have to take care of your health. Don't destroy yourself. Don't do drugs. Don't smoke. Don't drink. When you drive, be careful to take care of yourself and your health. This is amana. God said, I have given you this health. I want you to live healthy. Eat healthy food. Don't eat junk food. You have no right to eat junk food. Why? Destroys you. Destroys your health. You have to have exercise. You have to have a good diet. This is part of amanat. We have to fulfill these trusts. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعَهْدِهِمْ. When you make ahd, عهد is a promise. Sometimes you make a promise to the bank when you take a loan, $300,000, that I will pay it back. Sometimes you make ahd, the promise to a child who is 2 years old. You tell him, I'm going to take you to, you know, get you some ice cream. You have to do that. This is a promise. You have to be true to your promise, whether this promise is big or small. This is part of Sharia. This is Islamic Sharia. The third part of Sharia, so the first one is ibadat. Second, mu'amalat. The third, ilaqat, relationships. We live in a society. We are surrounded by human beings. And what binds us together are relationships. You have to have good relationship with others. Those others, sometimes she's your wife. How's your relationship with your wife? How is your relationship with your mother? How is your relationship with your father? How is your relationship with your neighbor, with your cousin, with your partner in the business? Ilaqat. How is your relationship with your country, with the soil, with the land, with the community? How is it? Are you a good citizen? Do you respect the law of the land or you don't? This is ilaqat, relations. This is part of Sharia. So Newt Gingrich, though he's a professor, and at some point he was the speaker of the Congress, the most important parliament in the world, but he's still ignorant. He's still ignorant on Islamic Sharia. Either ignorant deliberately, he knows this is not true, Islamic Sharia is not dangerous. Islamic Sharia is not dangerous. They only focus on the penal code. When they speak about Sharia, they speak about chopping the fingers, cutting the hands of the thief, and, you know, killing the homosexuals and this and that. Which is not true. Tell me, what country now, other than Saudi Arabia, who deserves themselves? The Salatin of Saudi Arabia, they deserve their hands to be chopped. Because they are the biggest thieves. Which other country is implementing penal code? No country, no other country. So why is the fear from Islam? Which Muslim today in America says, let's implement Islamic Sharia in this country? No one. Do you hear this? Nobody's saying this. It's all propaganda. It's all propaganda. Propaganda for domestic use here. In the Middle East, we have some cheaters and liars. Some Muslim leaders, Arab leaders, who are liars. In the West, we have the same. We have the same. But the name is different. Only the name is different. For their own political gains, they manipulate and they cheat and they lie and they fabricate and they accuse the Muslims. So, going back to what I said, who has the right to legislate? الَّذِي خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى. God is the one who created. And the creator has the right to tell you what is good and what is bad. What is right and what is wrong. When you purchase a car from a factory, who tells you, who writes the manual of the car for you? Who tells you how to drive this car and how to handle it? The manufacturer. Definitely the manufacturer. The manufacturer tells you how to handle this car. They say, we built it, we know about it. So follow our instruction. If you want to enjoy this vehicle, follow our instructions. When you get a medicine, who tells you how to consume this medicine? The pharmaceutical company. They put a label, they say, this is how you consume it. Follow our instructions, you're going to be healed. If not, you're going to destroy yourself. God is saying the same. God says, I created you. I brought you into this life. الَّذِي خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى. And I have the right to guide you, to tell you how to lead your life. So listen to me. God is not biased. God is not prejudiced. God is not angry. God is not hateful. God is the God of mercy and love and compassion. God is Arham al-Rahim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. God created us to bestow His mercy on us. Not His wrath or anger. His mercy, His love, His forgiveness. No one is more merciful than Him. So we should submit to Him and respect Him and listen to Him. When God says alcohol is bad, He means it. He's serious about it. When God says don't drink, He knows what He's talking about. When God says drugs are bad for your health, don't approach them, He means it. When God says theft is bad, when God says fornication is bad, He means it. He's a true. He wants you to be happy. God does not eat or drink. God does not need a house or a clothing or a bed. Allah هو الغني. يا أيها الناس أنتم الفقراء إلى الله والله هو الغني الحميد. He's self-sufficient. God is self-sufficient. God is غني. So we need these things. God says, listen to me. If you follow my instructions, you're going to enjoy this life. You're going to be satisfied. You're going to be happy with yourself. If you don't, if you turn your back to me, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ. You're going to lead a miserable life, and this is what is happening. When Muslims turn their back to the Quran, and to God, and to the Prophet, and to Ahlul Bayt, look at what is happening now. Look at the wars, and the refugees, and the killing, and the bloodshed. 2 days ago, Syrian opposition, they killed a Palestinian boy of only 11 years old. They beheaded him. They beheaded him in the truck. They captured him. He's diabetic. He's very sick. He's very frail. Very frail. If they leave him, he might die in about a week. They beheaded him. They cut his head. While they are shouting, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Is this Islam? Is this the Ummah of the Prophet, where Allah says about him, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ? Is this the Ummah of the Prophet? And those people, they want to remove Assad and they want to bring democracy to Syria. This type of democracy that kills a boy who is only 11 years old. I could not sleep at night. So, Muslims, they turn their back to the Quran. And when you turn back to God, God says, I'm not going to lose. You are going to lose. You would lose. God is self-sufficient. He needs none of my prayers or fasting or charity. He's not sitting there waiting for me to pray for Him. No. If I pray, I'm going to benefit. If I don't pray and I don't worship and I don't follow His path, I'm going to lose. He's not going to lose. Ya ayyuha an-nas, antum al-fuqara'u ila Allah. So Allah says in Surah Yunus 59, قُلْ, say to them, Ya Rasulullah, say to the Arabs of Mecca, the pagans, قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ مِنْ رِزْقٍ, what God has sent upon you of sustenance and provision. The sustenance could be food. Food is sustenance. Sometimes it could be intelligence. Is also rizq. Is also a gift from God. Not just food or a drink. Sometimes intelligence is also a gift. قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ مِنْ رِزْقٍ فَجَعَلْتُمْ مِنْهُ حَرَامًا وَحَلَالًا. Then you receive all these gifts from God, and then you start legislating. How they legislate tashri'a? They say part of it is halal, lawful, and part of it is forbidden and lawful. They say. It is arbitrary, of course. Arbitrary, not based on wisdom. When God says this is halal and this is haram, it is based on wisdom and experience. But when man decides to replace God and says this is halal and haram, it is based on his own narrow interests. We people, when we like something, we say this is halal. When we dislike it, we say this is haram. When it doesn't work for me, it's haram. But if it works for me, it's halal. God is not like that. God says, I'm neutral. I work for mankind, for the welfare of all humanity. Not just the rich, or the white, or the poor, or the black. I'm the God of all the whole humanity. So they come and they change. They start to legislate through their own arbitrary ritualistic practices. The Arabs in the Arabian, they look at certain animals and they put names for them. They label them. Bahira and Sa'iba and Wasila. They come to certain animals and they say, you cannot eat those. They legislate. Keep these away. You can eat only these. Something that ما أنزل الله به من سلطان has no roots with God or in religion. Neither has roots in rationality. These are tribal superstitions. Tribal superstitions, which has no roots even in عقل, in intellect. فَجَعَلْتُمْ مِنْهُ حَرَامًا وَحَلَالًا قُلْ أَاللَّهُ أَذِنَ لَكُمْ. Did God give you permission to say this is halal and haram? Did God, are you a spokesperson of God? قُلْ أَاللَّهُ أَذِنَ لَكُمْ أَمْ عَلَى اللَّهِ تَفْتَرُونَ. Or in fact, you are fabricating lies against God. You are forging lies against God. This is why, my friends, listen to me. When someone asks you about something, is this halal or haram? Do not give your own opinion. Don't say, well, in my opinion, yes, this is something good, then it is halal. No. No, you can't say this. Neither me. Sometimes I'm asked, I don't know the answer immediately. I tell him, wait, tomorrow I'll bring you the answer. I have to make sure that what I'm saying is according to God's decree, not to my desire, not to my own desire, to God's decree, and to God's, according to God's law. أَمْ عَلَى اللَّهِ تَفْتَرُونَ وَمَا ظَنُّ الَّذِينَ يَفْتَرُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ الْكَذِبِ. What would those who forge lies against God will do? What would they do on the Day of Judgment when they face God? Sometimes you find a person who says, I don't believe in Islam. I don't believe in religion. I don't believe in God. Don't tell me this is halal or haram. I don't even believe in God. Sometimes someone says, I believe in God. I believe in religion. I believe in the Prophet. He practices the prayers. But when it comes to his own interest and benefit, he starts legislating. This is halal and this is haram. He becomes Ayatollah. He becomes faqih. Whenever it works for him, this is halal, because it worked for him. Whenever it does not work for him, this is haram. It's forbidden. And we have thousands of examples happening every day in our homes, in our communities, in our societies, among the Muslims. One time, a couple came to me, and the wife was accusing her husband of domestic violence. He used to hit her. So I asked her, is this true? I asked him, do you really hit her? He said, yes, say it. I said, why? He said, it's in the Quran. Allah says you have to hit your wife. Because it works for him. But Allah at the same time says in the hadith that if the husband does something wrong, the wife has the right to hit him too. But he does not look at that one. He looks only at his, when it works for him. When it works for him. And he doesn't see the Prophet when the Prophet said, I never hit in my hand any woman or a child. إِلَّا أَن يُقَاتِلْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. The only time I raise my arm in the battlefield to kill the enemies of the humanity. Not women or children. This is the sunnah and the tradition of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But people manipulate religion to their own end, to their own interest. People have bias. People look at religion one-sided. They pick and choose. When the Quran works for them and Sharia works for them, they respect. But when the Sharia does not work for their own narrow and bad interests, they reject it. This is not deen. This is not religion. Religion is when you surrender, whether you like it or not. Allah says in Surah chapter 4, Surah An-Nisa, Allah says, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ مِمَّا حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. Allah says, those Arabs around you, the Muslims around you, they would never be true Muslims unless they accept everything you tell them and they follow without question, without argument. Yes, sometimes you inquire to ask why, it's good. But to argue and defy and reject, it's not good. This is not Islam. Al-Islam huwa al-Taslim. Al-Islam, the true spirit of Islam is to surrender to God. To submit to God. Because God works for you and he works for others. You want God only to work for you. The husbands want God to work for them. The wives, they want God to work for them. The kids, they want God only to work for them. The Arabs, they want God only to work for them. And the non-Arabs, the same. God says that doesn't happen. I don't have any bias. I work for justice. I work for justice. Allah is the Lord of justice and fairness and mercy and what is good for the entire humanity. وَمَا ظَنُّ الَّذِينَ يَفْتَرُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ الْكَذِبَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَذُو فَضْلٍ عَلَى النَّاسِ. God's bounty on people are a lot, but we do not appreciate. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَا يَشْكُرُونَ. We don't give thanks. It's like some children, I'll give you this example because you may feel it at your own home. Some children who have been raised by their parents, they spend money of them, they spend time of them, they spend their effort on them, they protect them. When he gets to the age of 18, 19, 20, he says, I don't need my parents. I don't listen to my parents. They don't listen. They don't respect. We do the same with God every day. God has given us everything, sustenance, health, intellect, safety and security, parents, family. But then we became arrogant sometimes. We become arrogant. We say we don't need you anymore. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَا يَشْكُرُونَ. The majority of mankind, they are ungrateful to God. Ungrateful to God. We have to be grateful to him. We have to appreciate what he has done for us. We have to submit ourselves for him. As I said earlier, this is the example of Samir, Haj Samir, Abu Hussein. He gave to God, God gave him back. I have no doubt about that. In my mind, if you ask me, this is God's protection that protected him and gave him another life, a new life. When you give to God, God would immediately pay you back. Believe me, without any delay. Many faults. You give him $10, he pays back $1,000. You pay him $1,000, he gives you $100,000. God is generous. Wallahu, inna Allah ladu fadlin. God has numerous and limited bounties, fadl on mankind, ala al-nas, walakin aktharahum لا يشكرون. My friends, next Thursday we have the commemoration of the Shahada, استشهاد, the martyrdom of our sixth Imam, الإمام جعفر بن محمد الصادق عليه الصلاة والسلام. It would be inshallah on Thursday, so we advise you to come and participate. And also we have a few days left for our 17th annual summer youth retreat. We've been doing this, the summer retreat for the youth, the future leaders who are 17 up to 49 years, huh? 49, what did I say last time? Let's say 50 years, so I can include myself, I can go. 16 and up, inshallah, it would be in Cambria, a very majestic campground, very beautiful. I was checking the weather today. I was in Ontario, it was 111 Fahrenheit. And I checked Cambria, it was 62. Imagine, 62. So we're going to spend 3 nights, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then we come back on Sunday. So it's August 11th until 14th. Encourage them to attend, to enjoy the atmosphere, the weather, and the education, and the tarbiyah, and the training, and the Islamic brotherhood and sisterhood. So if you have a problem with your youth, send them here, inshallah. Send them to this camp so they can learn and they come back good children to their parents and good citizens in their communities. And the week after that, which is August 19th through 21st, we have the camp here in Irvine for those who are between the ages of 9 to 14 years old. And you can see both flyers outside. Allahumma ighfir lil mu'minina wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat tabi' allahumma baynana wa baynahum bil khayrat innaka mujibud da'awat innaka ghafirul khati'at innaka mahis sayyi'at wa ja'iluha hasanat innaka ala kulli shay'in qadir. I ask you to recite Surah Al-Fatiha for the soul of our dear sister, Sister Ismat Lutfi. وعجل اللهم في فرج سيدنا ومولانا صاحب العصر والزمان والفاتحة مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد.